You're listening to the Toolstation Western League podcast with Ian Knuckles and Tom Hiscott.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 37 of this season's Toolstation Western League podcast with me, Ian Knuckles, and I am delighted to welcome back on the line after his sabbatical last week, the editor of the Toolstation Western League Bulletin. It is Mr. Tom Hiscott. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, glad to be back. How you doing?
Good. Well, I did miss you. I think Stoner did a really good job deputising for you.
I've heard brave reviews, so yeah, I'm glad he had a good time.
Yeah, he certainly did, and yeah, it was really interesting, obviously, to get to talk about his charity work as well. And I think actually we've got a bit of we've got a charity announcement that we're going to be talking about on this week's podcast a bit later as well. So that good work by our clubs continues. On this week's episode of the podcast, we speak to Wellington boss Richard Cherry and also Lee Perks, the manager of Brislington, but. We will kick things off, Tom, by looking at the fixtures that were played in the Toolstation Western League in our Premier Division on Saturday, the 13th of April. And I think we'll start with a rather one-sided affair at Clevedon Town.
Yeah, obviously Clevedon have been up and amongst the top couple of sides most of the season, haven't they? Had a slight blip recently, haven't they? But yeah, there was a good win for them on the weekend. 3-0 victory at home to Wilfred Coombe. And they still remain. I know we're going to go touch on the tables later on. So they, but they remain firmly in the conversation for the title, don't they? And it was a fifth consecutive home win. So they might have a few away troubles, but at their own place at the Hand Stadium, they're more than doing well, aren't they? And it was Sam Beresford. He's their leading scorer this year. He was among the goals again on the weekend, scoring either half. So that was. That was crucial to the victory. And there was also an extra goal from Owen Pincelli, which is probably the pick of the goals, an acrobatic effort. And that put them two up on the hour mark. So that was an important goal. But as I say, Beresford scoring in either half. And it was Clevedon 3-0 winners over Ilfra Coombe.
Now we move on to Oldland Abertonians, lowly Oldland Abertonians. They entertained high-flying Falmouth Town. But, without wishing to give too much away, Tom, this game didn't really go with the form book, did it?
Absolutely not. I think if you'd looked at the table, there would be one winner. But obviously Falmouth on the travel, so you never take these games as they're going to easily pick up the points. And that was how it proved. They did go ahead early on, so it looked... in the early stages, like it could be one of those days. Luke Barner putting them one up after 7 minutes or so. But yeah, full credit to the Abbots. They battled back really well and they cancelled that goal out early in the second half through Zach Tucker, who made it one apiece. And they managed to hold on. And that was an important point for Falmouth in the grand scheme of things. But I think they would have gone there targeting three. So yeah, all credit to Oldland. Obviously not had the best of seasons, but for them to get a point on the weekend, yeah, good stuff. And that was an entertaining game, I believe.
Yes. That point for Falmouth, I think that will have done them a bit of a favour in the league table, but perhaps not as much as they were hoping that all three would have done them. But anyway, we'll have a little chat about the tables towards the end of the pod. Our next game, Torpoint Athletic against Shepton Mallet, was a game that Stoner and I discussed on last week's podcast. And in my time-honoured tradition of getting these score predictions hopelessly wrong, I thought Torpoint were going to take all 3 points, but that wasn't the case, was it, Tom?
No, I could have told you before this was going to be a 2-0 away win. And that was how it played out. Shepton Mallet go in there, and yeah, they are in cracking form. Five wins from six now for the Mallet, and a 2-0 win away at Torpoint. As you say, though, I don't think I don't think it would have been a foregone conclusion that this was going to be the case before the game. Torpoint doing well at the moment as well, but yeah, not to be for them on the weekend. And it was all from the very early stages. It felt like it potentially couldn't. Would have been a tough day for them. They conceded a penalty after only 17 seconds. So, Shepton taking advantage of that with Jacob Sloggett converting. So that gave him a very early lead. But then that was, in a tight contest, that was how it stayed for much of the afternoon, to be fair. And it was only a late effort from Nathan Legg that put Mallet 2 up that completed the victory. So, finished Torpoint 0, Shepton Mallet 2.
And our final game to review in the Premier Division was lowly Wellington against high-flying Helston Athletic, a little bit like that Oldland-Falmouth game we were talking about. There was only ever going to be one winner here, and they didn't win it, did they, Tom?
Of course they didn't. No, I mean, just sort of as an aside, we saw it in the Premier League and in even the Championship this weekend, those sides at the top, your Leeds is, and obviously Arsenal yesterday and whatnot. It comes to this time of the season and it does get tougher to pick up the points that you potentially on paper are expecting to pick up. And maybe that was the case for Helston on the weekend. A 1-0 defeat for them at Wellington, as you say. 15th place coming into the game, Wellington. So, yeah, I don't think a 1-0 win for them would have been on many people's predictions, but that was how it played out. Kieran Bailey heading home a Sully McKenna corner. And that gave, to be fair, Wellington doing well. That is 4 wins in 6 for them. So maybe the table lies a little bit with their position. But yeah, a tough, tough afternoon for Helston, who drew a rare blank. So yeah, good win for Wellington over one of the title challengers.
Well, I thought that was the perfect excuse for me to get in touch with Richard Cherry, the Wellington boss, and congratulate him on his side's victory over high-flying Helston Athletic.
Do you know, it was a long while in coming, but we set up with a particular game plan and the boys executed it perfectly. And with a few rubs of the green, let's say, we finally got the result.
Because you only lost out narrowly to Falmouth the week before. So did you get something from that performance that made you feel you could get the win against Helston?
Definitely. In the last 6 games, we've not lost in... we've lost 2, I think, of those 6 games. And we've definitely turned a corner with regards to recruiting a few extra players nearer the time, setting up in a slightly different system that befits the flyers that we've got and the league who we're playing against. So actually the game against Falmouth was a good test to see where we've come.
What did you make of Helston and Falmouth? Because of course those two sides are now fighting it out at the top for automatic promotion. I mean, you obviously gave both of them a good game, but have you got a feeling in your water?
Good question. And you know what? I like both of the teams try and play. Both of them have got a good set of players and particularly managers and coaches who are really top-notch. I do think, however, that maybe Falmouth have got the personnel a little bit stronger, a little bit more physical maybe, whereas Helston are more total football. So depending on this week, because it's an awful week to have 4 games in a week for Helston, it may well just lean towards Falmouth, I think.
Let's go back to your own performances, because I think you've alluded to the fact that obviously your form has picked up and you've been particularly good this calendar year. So why do you feel it's been a sort of season of two halves for you?
At the beginning of the season, we lost a lot of last year's personnel. We had to really sort of rebuild again, and the club was very intent on sort of trying to do that and get us a full backing and support. With the help of the reserve guys right the way through, we've been able to pick up a few better players as we've gone through the season, start momentum, and then added a couple more recently, and suddenly those last few players suddenly make that the reference from being almost at the level to at the level, and then being very hard to beat with sort of a lot of tactical work against each team. Suddenly sees us sort of get some result early in the season we just wouldn't have expected.
Have you allowed yourself the luxury of sort of thinking about what you want to be doing with Wellington next season, or is this, are you still very focused on just getting the remaining fixtures out of the way for this season?
No, you know how it is. It's planning, it's constant movement, it's constant looking at recruiting. The club itself are looking to push on. The youth system there is going great guns and pushing on. Got some super coaches and the reserves. So everything's looking to push forward, and we're hoping to keep the group that we've got there now together, which is looking at, you know, ways of increasing budgets and bringing in sponsorships and things. So very much focus on next year and pushing the guys on again.
I know this season there's been a lot of discussion within the clubs, and particularly in the Premier Division, of clubs finding their level, you know, whether that means competing to get promoted to the Southern League or being a competitive Premier Division side, or even, you know, fighting off relegation. Have you got a feeling for where you think Wellington's level is going to realistically be in the coming seasons?
I do think, and a fabulous community-based club, I think they have aspirations to want to push on. I think there are some things that are tying them sign them down with regards to facilities and stuff. But you know what? The guys behind the scenes desperate to push on. And I think that towards middle to the top of this division will be where they are in the next two seasons.
Because I guess the doomsday scenario for you is the sort of rebuilding job that you had at the start of this season is one that you face at the start of next season, particularly given, as you've described, you know, your recruitment in recent weeks has been paying dividends for you.
Absolutely. And I think the some of the players that have joined us realise that with good coaching and understanding what we're asking them to do and the level of what we're asking them to do, wants to bring in the better players because they quite enjoy what they're now doing. So the budget is not everything, but of course it's a big push towards that level.
We can't sort of talk about football at the moment without talking about fixture congestion, and of course it affects teams in different ways. Obviously we've got teams playing three games a week at the moment, but for you it's meant six consecutive home games followed by four consecutive away games. Has that affected your preparation during the run-in?
It does a little bit because some of the guys from work and things have to change their schedules and things and can't always do that, so it does mean some personnel can't make some of the away games just because they can't get out on time. So yeah, there is some congestion with that, and but we are used to having so many home games and so many away games, etc., from the start of the season.
Well, you've got Bridgewater up next, and obviously, you know, they've been a massive side in the Western League for some time. But this fixture has always fascinated me because Wellington have always performed well in it. So I guess after that result against Helston, you can afford to go into this feeling really positive.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you're playing the big sides, you always know what you're up against. There's lots of good players and can hurt you from all sorts of different angles. But the best you can do is set up with the personnel that you're available in the for that particular game. And I think if you set up not to lose and work on a system against them, hopefully, we might get something out of the game.
Because you've got a different test at the weekend, haven't you? It's Oldland Abertonians. And given your good run of form and where they are in the table, this is looking like a winnable game for you.
Jim, I think we've looked at the last four remaining fixtures, and I think if we could get 4 points, maybe 5 points out of those games, we'd be really pleased. So that will be a winnable game. Street will be a tough game away, but hopefully some sort of result and performance. And the same thing on the last day of the season against Brixham.
Well, Richard, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us again, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Honestly, really appreciate having the time to speak to you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. And my thanks to Richard for his time. Now then, Tom, you've got a message for our sponsor.
Whatever the job, with over 25,000 products in stock and ready to go, you can click, collect and conquer at Toolstation.
Now we'll look into the First Division, and we kick off with another one of the games that Stoner and I discussed on last week's podcast, AEK Boko against Radstock Town. But I am pleased to say that I was a lot closer in my prediction on this game than I have been for most of them. And it was another good day at the office for the Miners.
Yeah, just one goal separating the sides, a slender victory for them, but an important one nonetheless, and it was a goal late in the first half, but it did, as you say, prove to be enough for the Miners, and it was recent addition Sasha Tong, great impact for his new side. I think he'd signed earlier in the week, and yeah, as I say, he was the only goal scorer on Saturday at Boko, but it did give Radstock the 1-0 win, and yeah, an important 3 points for the away side.
Now we turn our attention to Cheddar. They've not enjoyed the best of seasons by any stretch of the imagination. And when they entertain high-flying Brislington, you can only imagine the potential scoreline. But the Somerset side more than held their own, Tom.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, just coming unstuck. A tough afternoon for them, a 2-1 defeat. But they battled hard in this one. They did go behind pretty early. But then managed to get it back on level terms. Morgan Bacon, one of your favourite names, he levelled the scores to make it one apiece at the break. But yeah, it was Brislington who eventually pulled out the victory. They scored another late to middle of the second half, around the 75-minute mark, went 2-1 up, and that proved to be enough for the away side, who picked up the 2-1 win at Cheddar.
Well, we spoke to Lee Perks, the manager of Brislington, earlier in the season. I thought it was a good time to get him back on now, particularly as we're very much focused on the run-in. And of course, Brislington have been one of the most talked about sides on this season's podcast. So we reflected on that game against Cheddar. And I asked Lee whether, having just managed to edge past the Cheesemen, was that game as close as the scoreline suggests?
Yes, it was, fairness. Cheddar were quite good, but we were very, very poor. Yeah, it was. We sure sneaked the win at the end, to be honest. But yeah, not a very good game for us at all.
Because that win does arrest back-to-back defeats to Portishead and Bristol Telephones. Now, I mean, there is no disgrace in losing to Portishead. But, I mean, were you disappointed not to get anything out of those two games?
Bristol Telephones, yeah, in fairness. We didn't turn up. I think we the game before that, we beat Gillingham, I think it was, 7-1. Then we went to Telephones and they done a job on us, in fairness. They bullied us off the pitch, played better than us, scored a couple of good goals. We just didn't really turn up. And then on the spin of Portishead, which was played down at Manor Farms ground, for me, was a very, very good game of football for me. Two very good sides, you know, going toe-to-toe. There was a few people watching, and yeah, that was a very good game. And unfortunately, we didn't. Obviously, they won it, probably deservedly so at the end. But very disappointed to give the performance we did against Portishead to the performance we give against Cheddar.
Now, all season, managers have been talking to me about Brislington, and I think that the popular opinion was that you were going to go on another one of these all-conquering runs and shoot up the table like you did last season, but it's not quite happened for you, has it?
No, it hasn't, in fairness, and that's just down to us. We all knew it was going to be harder. We all knew sides were going to come and try and beat us for what we'd done last year, but the consistency level through this season has just not been good enough, and it's been a wake-up call for us, to be honest. You know, there's no reason why we couldn't have done what we'd done last year. I mean, don't get me wrong, last year was a bit of a freak for how many games we actually won on the banks. But like I say, the consistency level on that's right from the very first game, to be honest. Well, that was against Cribbs, which we lost. And then I think we played a few good games and then we drew and then we lost again. But like I say, all through this season, the consistency level for me has not been good enough. We've had three or four under-18s in the squad at the time, which, no disrespect to them, we've got a good under-18s. But last year, you know, I didn't pick from any of the 18s, or if I did, it was only one. But yeah, it just hasn't been good enough. Teams have been better around us, and like I say, we deserve to be where we are. We're seventh at the moment. We are in the playoffs, and the only reason we're in the playoffs at this minute in time is because Bitton and Cribbs cannot go in the playoffs. So we're seventh at the moment. We have got seven games left to try and cram in the next 2 weeks. And hopefully we can win as many as we can to try and get, you know, at least the first fixture at aim in the playoffs.
So the playoffs is still very much your target for this season?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, from the first game of the season, our aim was to get promoted. Obviously, we couldn't get promoted last year. We were told it, you know, very late on that we couldn't get promoted. So we basically went again. And like you just said, or like I said, it hasn't been the same season. No two seasons are the same. No two football matches are the same, in fairness. So we've got to go up for the playoffs. And it looks like, I know Portishead are not, you know, not named as champions at this minute in time, but I can't see that anyone catching them now. And deservedly so, to be honest. They've got a lad who scored 50 goals. They're good from back to front. Two very good games we had against them. I think, me personally, I think it's the two best teams in the league. I know we're not second, but what I've seen last Thursday was a very good game of football, and we need to go up through the playoffs, and we need to get one of them games at home, and we need the first game at home, and hopefully the final at home. But, you know, going up through playoffs, which I've never been involved in before in football playoffs, but it's just one of them. Anything can happen in the playoffs.
Given what you've said about some of the challenges that you've had this season, as opposed to last season, of course, when you were worthy winners of the division, does that raise any concerns about what life will be like for you in the Premier Division if you can find your way into it next season?
Not really, no, to be honest, because I know we've played three teams actually this year. We've played in the Prem. We played Aldland in the Vaz, which we won. Then we played Welton Rovers in the Somerset Cup, which we won. And we also played Clevedon Town in the Somerset Cup, which we won. So we've played three Prem sides this year and won. So, but yeah, it will be a bit harder. You know, but everyone at the club, the players around, we want to get promoted. And so for us to get promoted, we need to be better than what we're doing at this minute in time. And at the end of the day, if we don't go up for the playoffs, then we're back in this league next year. And then no doubt we'll try and go again. But I know now, and everyone else knows, that, you know, it has been a bit of an eye-opener for, you know, this season. And the every game has been, you know, well, 99% of the games have been competitive. And they haven't been a walk in the park like it was last year.
So you've got six Western League games to fit in between now and the end of the month. How are you and the players coping with that schedule?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I don't want to come on here and start moaning and groaning about it, you know, but it is a joke, to be honest. Like you say, we've got six games left in 2 weeks. So we got a game tomorrow, Tuesday, a game Thursday, a game Saturday. Then we got a game next Tuesday, next Thursday, next Saturday. And somehow we've got to try and get a Somerset Cup semi-final in against Western Supermare. And I was told yesterday by our secretary that, I mean, don't get me wrong, we've got to try and beat Western. And if we do, for whatever reason, then the final of that Somerset Cup is on the 1st of May. And I think our playoff game is on the 2nd of May. So that's not, it just can't happen. So I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest with you. I don't know where we're going to get this Western game put in. That's in the back of my mind, to be honest. If we'd have to play our under-18s against them, then that's what we're going to have to do. But yeah, it will take a toll on us, because we've got a few young ones and we've got a few experienced Asian ones, and we haven't got enough recovery for 48 hours to go again. But I can't sit here and complain on the phone, because that's the way it is. We've got to get on with it.
Yeah, looking at those three games, you've got this week, you mentioned Shirehampton, Hallen, and then a trip to Boko. Now, I mean, I don't want to disrespect those sides, but certainly if we think about where you were at last season and where you want to be this season, those are three matches that you would normally be targeting for a win. But given that, you know, the congestion in your fixture schedule, and I suspect, I mean, you'll know better than I whether or not your side is carrying any injuries, there are some other factors at play that will determine whether those are winnable games for you.
You say the three games should be winnable, but I mean, Hallam's already beat us two or three weeks ago. AEK will always be an hard game, because, you know, they're a good side. And Shirehampton, I don't know if they're fighting to stay up. I'm not too sure. I don't think so, because I think they won a few games a few weeks ago. But every game, like I just said to you, every game in this league at the moment, it's difficult for us, and we've just not got that consistency level. And I, you know, with football or with anything really, if you get on that consistency level or start winning games of football, then it starts a little bit easier. But at the minute, it's very stop and start for us through the fixtures and the games we're winning and trying to get points. I mean, I think it started for me sort of on the 23rd of March. I think we played Cabrieux, we drew 1-1, and then we actually played Porter's Head, I think, on that, and we won that one. And then we had the bank holiday weekend of the Easter, which one was called off against Kingston, and then we played Hallam, which we lost. But over the last 6 weeks, over the whole season, we have not been good enough to be be chasing Porter's Head. We are where we are. We're seventh. And like I just said, at this minute in time, if Bitton and Scripps could go up, then we would have to win two or three games definitely to get in the playoffs. But we've got, like I say, we can finish seventh in the playoff, which will, for me, is not a very good season for Brisbane.
Please take this in the spirit in which it's meant. I always say to the managers when we finish speaking, you know, hopefully you enjoy a successful end to the season. The problem, I guess, you've got is that the more successful you are, the more games you've got to try and fit in. So please take that in the spirit in which it's meant.
Yeah, I know. To be honest, I said to the lads, you know, we're all disappointed. Don't get me wrong. It's not just me. I mean, we're all wondering why, what's going on. But that's football. And, you know, I did say to him a couple of weeks ago, not on Saturday, because I had a few bad words to say to him at half-time. But, you know, after the Porter's Head game, I said to him in the changing rooms, we were disappointed we lost against Porter's Head. But I say it was a really good game. Someone had to draw, someone had to lose or win. But and unfortunately, we lost. But, like I say, we were all disappointed, heads down. I said to him, look, we just got to just rewind it back a little bit. That, you know, last year we had a really good season, as obviously everyone knows. We won it at Canter. We got to a semi-final of the Les Phillips Cup, which we ended up losing to Shepton Mallet. And this year, it looks like we're going to have to go through the playoff to get promoted. And we're also in another semi-final of the Cup against... But like I said to you just now, how we're going to fit that game, and I don't know. So, but if you look at it on a whole over the last 2 years, and if we've got to go up through the playoffs, we'll go up through the playoffs. So it is a little bit, at the moment, a little bit disappointing for us. There's a little bit of, you know, there's Ed Stang around the ground and around the club. But if we can pick ourselves up now and go again to the end of the season, go up through the playoffs, get the semi-final done, and for me, we've had a very good season again. But not as good as we had last year, obviously.
And my thanks to Lee for his time. Now, having talked about two very close games, Tom, we're now going to talk about one that was pretty one-sided. 9 goals to talk about between Keynsham and Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough have impressed me. I think they've been a bit of a surprise package this season. But they had a bit of a school day, didn't they, at the hands of Keynsham?
They did, absolutely. One of 2-7-2 victories for first division sides on the weekend. Halland also scoring 7 in their victory. And as I say, it's a bit of a rare scoreline. But yeah, we had two of them on the weekend. And Keynsham, one of those sides to pull it off. Home win over Middlesbrough. But the game was very much sort of in the balance at halftime. But then Joe Davis really did take over the game. Scored twice around the hour mark, making it 5-2. And then added another scoring a hat-trick. One of many hat-trick heroes on the weekend. And Keynsham, just sort of looking back over their results for the season, when they find their groove, they really do like finding the back of the net in big numbers. There's at least one or two other sevens already this year, and quite a number of fours, despite their slightly lowly league position, you could say. Another big win for them over Middlesbrough on the weekend, 7-2.
And finally, 7 goals between Wincanton Town and Bristol Telephones, but it was a close run affair, Tom.
It absolutely was. Yeah, Wincanton, definitely forced to hold on in this one. It was a tight game, as you say, and holding off a spirited fight back, really. And it was a result that ends their free match losing run as well. So they'll be happy to have hung on. They did go ahead after 11 minutes or so through Connor Williams before the phones got back on level terms. But then it was just prior to halftime where they really did find their groove. 3 goals in the space of 8 minutes, putting them 4-1 up at the interval. And that was Tom Jarvis, Sam Hodges and Jacob Sevier all netting. So as I say, 4-1 at the break, you think, probably done and dusted. But yeah, the phones today, well, they were the better side after the break, and they managed to completely get back into it. Made it 4-3. Goals from Archie Dark and Isaac Flynn. But it was, as I touched on, important that Wincanton held on, and they did just that to make it 4-3 and get the crucial 3 points.
Now we will have a look at the fixtures coming up on Saturday, the 20th of April. And Tom, you'll be pleased to know Stoner did you proud in the prediction table. You scored. Thanks to him, 3 points. You've got no direct hits, but you'd certainly got 3 out of the 4 right. But actually, I also got 3 points. The outcomes right, even if I didn't, manage to get any exact scores right. Which means that you have got a cumulative total of 10 points, and I am some way off you with 6, but on the grounds that sort of you're back in, you know, position, and I can sense from our conversation so far on the podcast that I think you're looking for some more direct hits. I can only see you pulling away from me, but anyway, we'll find out in the coming moments. So looking ahead at the fixtures then for Saturday the 20th of April, what game are you going to pick to showcase in the Premier Division?
We've gone for Shepton Mallet's home game with Falmouth. So obviously, I would say this is potentially Falmouth's toughest game for the remainder of the season. We touched on how Shepton have won 5 of 6. Another impressive victory for them away at Torpoint on the weekend. So for Falmouth, who are stuck in the title battle at the moment, for them to have to head to Shepton on the weekend is not going to be easy, I don't think. And I'm going to say that they do draw this one. I'm going to go for 2-2. So an entertaining Desmond there at Shepton.
We keep on getting Shepton. in this, tough, and I think I normally bet against them every single time, and I'm going to lose friends at that football club if I'm not careful. The thing that gets me about this fixture is I cannot, having drawn at the weekend, I cannot believe that Falmouth won't get a reaction. The problem is that, you know, I'm very conscious of the fact that momentum is really important at the end of the season, and it may well be. Falmouth have got a lot of games to play. They've been involved in a lot of competitions. It's been a long season for them. You know, they may be up against it. Oh, what am I going to do? Right, Shepton Mallet 2, Falmouth Town 1.
Oh, I like it.
There you go.
I like it a lot.
Oh, dear. right, I'll plug now the game that I want to promote, and it's going to be the game that I'm going to be at. Brixham AFC taking on Barnstable Town. I should be doing one of my collections for, this is Devon Mind. It's the first time I've been to Brixham's ground. So I'm really looking forward to meeting fans down there. Obviously Barnstable and their fantastic travelling support. I'm also looking forward to reacquainting myself with them as well. So hopefully it'll be a really exciting day. How's it going to play out on the pitch, I wonder? Brixham, I think, are good at home. Barnstable will be, I'm sure, competitive. You know, maybe I'm going to go for the draw here, Tom. Ooh, am I going to go for a 2-2? Yes, I am. 2-2 between Brixham and Barnstable Town. There you go. Sitting on the fence, splinters in my bottom.
Lovely, lovely. So I think the pressure, if we can call it that, is probably more on the away side, isn't it? Having, definitely... in a battle at the top. So Brixham, I think they might do well. Obviously, they'll probably end up getting the result from the weekend. Obviously, what happened at Millbrook was unfortunate at the time, but I think they'll probably end up with those 3 points. And they look to be in prime scoring form, didn't they? So I will say they do at least score, and I'll say that they win by 2-1 over Barnstable. So Brixham to beat Barnstable on the weekend by 2-1.
And in the First Division, Tom, what game are you going for there?
I have chosen Cribbs Reserves home clash with Bitton. So I think, again, Cribbs another side that found their groove a bit on the weekend. Bitton in fifth, so we've got third v fifth. Hardly anything to split them in terms of league standings and whatnot. But Cribbs seem to be pulling out results at the moment. They've sort of won by the odd goal in recent weeks. I think they're four on the bounce in the league, and all by the sort of odd goal or two. So are they just, grinding things out nicely? So I'm going to say that they just about sneak home again. It's going to be a tight one. I'll say that they win by 2-1, because that seems to be quite a scoreline they like achieving recently. So I'll go for that again, that they win by 2-1 over Bitton.
Well, I've got. We spoke to Will Justin, the Bitton manager, I think he's going to be. I mean, I know from that interview he wants to finish as high up as possible this season. I think that perhaps Cribbs Reserves aren't quite the unknown quantity that they were at the start of this season. Bitton go there with a strong squad. I can see them winning this game. I'm going to say Bitton win this by 2-1. So that's Cribbs Reserves 1, Bitton 2. There you go.
Tasty.
Very much so. Now, the game I'm going to choose is Middlesbrough Rovers against Radstock Town. Now, I guess the form book dictates that this is a Radstock win, but I've watched Radstock a bit this season, and they do have a banana skin in them. They obviously they drew that game. The last time I saw them live, they drew with Odd Down. Now Middlesbrough, I think Middlesbrough are a really good side. I think that loss that we discussed earlier in the podcast is really out of character. It is if the wind is blowing, it is a difficult place to go. To be fair, Portishead played there earlier. I did a bucket collection for Somerset Mine down in Middlesbrough, and Portishead played the win perfectly and scored an absolute hatful. I don't think Radstock will, but I do think that they'll do enough to win. I think Middlesbrough are going to make it difficult for them, the other side's chasing Radstock at the top of the table. We'll be hoping for an upset, but I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go for Middlesbrough 0, Radstock Town 1.
Oh, gosh. I was thinking more goals, personally, which probably makes it more difficult for me to hit the nail on the head. But I'm going to go for, likewise, I think an away win will be the way. I'm going to say Radstock win at Middlesbrough by 4-2. And if I nail that one, then I can retire a happy man, because that would be a high-scoring win. But, yeah, I'll go for 4-2 away victory in that one.
I've got a feeling that you've got more chance of being right than I have. Oh, dear. Right then. So then, should we have a very quick look at the league tables? Tom, obviously, I think everybody's sort of getting, you know, really focused on who's, you know, in the promotion hunt in both divisions. Do you want to kick us off in the Premier Division?
Okie dokie. Yeah, so we have, it's incredibly tight, isn't it? Both divisions now have really tightened up at this time. This time of the season. So we have Falmouth, who are currently leading the way. They've come upon the sails and they are now sitting top. They've played 30 and they're on 70 points with a goal difference of 53. You've then got Helston, who are in second. They've got a game in hand on Falmouth. They've played 29 and they're on 69 points, which is one back, and their goal difference is the best of the lot, 71. So that could be an important number come the end of the season. You've then got Clevedon, who are in third. They've played a couple more than most. They've played 32 and they're on 68 points. So just 2 points separating the top three. You've then got Barnstaple, who've played 30 and they're on 65. And then Bridgewater a little bit further back, probably now out of the race for top spot. They've played 30 and they're on 60 points. So that's how the top five sit in the Premier Division.
And at the foot, we've got Millbrook in 18th, 6 points from their 26 games. Tom was saying about the teams at the top, games in hand have traditionally been a bonus, but at the moment, with a very congested end to this season, I don't think games in hand are anybody's friend necessarily. And Welton Rovers, they've played 30 and they've got 13 points after a points deduction, and Oldland Abertonians sit just above them, 16th. They've played 29 games. They've got 17 points. So that's how it's looking at the foot of the Premier Division. What about things at the top of the First Division, Tom?
In the top of the First Division, probably even tighter, you could argue, couldn't you? I think so. We've got sort of 5 or 6 games left for most teams or around that number. So you've got Portishead, who now lead the way. They've played the least out of everyone as well. So they've played 36 matches and they're on 84 points. And their goal difference of 77 is top so far. You've then got Radstock, who sit in second. They've played 39, so that's 3 more matches than Portishead. But they are locked level on 84 points. So that is the top two on 84. You've then got Cribbs Reserves, who are in third. They've played 38, which is one less than Radstock. They're on 80 points, so that's 4 back from top. They've then got a further point back, Wincanton, whose recent 3-game slide has hurt them a little bit. They've played 39, so that's one more than Cribbs, who are just ahead of them, and the same as Radstock in second, and they're on 79 points. And then you've got a couple sides who've played 37, and they're on 77 points. And that is Bitten, who are in fifth, and Wells, who are in sixth. That's the top six. I think we probably almost need to give Brislington a shout. I know they're down in seventh, but they have got 73 points. So, yeah, that's incredible going at this stage of the season. So that's 11 points covering the top seven. So, amazing stuff.
Slightly less congested at the bottom of the table. Bishop Sutton, after 40 matches, have got 3 points, and then it's quite a jump to Cheddar, who are in 21st. They've played 34, they've got 19 points, and then it's another jump to Gillingham. They're in 20th, they've played 37, they've got 33 points. Hengrove sit just above them, having played 38, they've got 36 points, and then Warminster, having played 39, they've got 37 points, and Keynsham Town, they've played 38, they've also got 37 points. But certainly, as far as the bottom two are concerned, they are well adrift. Now, before we let Tom do his customary plug for his excellent bulletin, there is a statement on the Western League website promoting a fundraising initiative that Barnstaple Town are hoping other clubs will support them in. It's about raising awareness for motor neurone disease. They are proposing to do a big fundraiser at their last league game of the season at home to Buckland Athletic, but they're also looking for other clubs to help spread awareness of MND by wearing their Mind Over MND warm-up tops for a one-off league fixture and posting a squad photo on your social media. They are asking clubs to raise a minimum of £25 for Mind Over MND. And there's more information on the website about what clubs can do to support that. If you are interested in getting your club involved in that important initiative, then Jane Huxtable at Barnstable is the contact, and her email address is on the story, which I know we've also promoted through our social media channels as well. Obviously, on this week's episode of the podcast, we talked about my fundraising for Mind. We've done that in previous episodes. And of course, on last week's episode, we talked about what Stoner does for cystic fibrosis. Bit of a charity feel, but actually, you know, it just goes to show the really important work that our clubs do in their communities and raising awareness for important initiatives. And that work's really important. We should celebrate it on the podcast. And the other thing we should celebrate on the podcast, of course, Tom, is your excellent bulletin, which we have been reviewing on this episode of the podcast. And where can the listeners find that?
Yeah, it's on the Toolstation League website on the homepage. Scroll down a little bit and it's there for you. And that, yeah, comes out every week. Obviously, lots going on at the moment with all these games we're catching up on. So, yeah, plenty of words coming up in the next few weeks, I think, looking back at what's going on. And fingers crossed the weather holds so we can get all these games in. So I know we've got a bit of a backlog. But, yeah, that's that comes out on sort of Sundays after the Saturday games. And, yeah, there'll be your results, your fixtures, your tables, scorers and whatnot. So yeah, that comes out every week.
Excellent stuff, Tom. It's great to have you back. And
pleasure.
I look forward to catching up with you on next week's Toolstation
Western League Podcast.